Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. I'm delighted to welcome back to my program Susie Ward, obviously known for her Matthew books and channeling, which comes out once a month. She's got thousands of admirers, and I have to say she's a lovely lady with a mind of her own, and she's very spiritually aware. And may I add, there aren't many people that would question messages that come from God. So are you there, Susie?
I am. Hello, Mike.
Hello. It's lovely to have you back on.
Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to it. We've got plenty to talk about. Now, for anybody who might be listening in and hearing about you perhaps for the first time or not know the background, would you like to just briefly tell people how it is the setup came about with Matthew?
I'll be happy to. The end of this month, it will have been 15 years since my son Matthew connected with me telepathically.
Yeah.
He was 17 when he was in a fatal vehicle accident in 1980, and it took almost 14 years for him to reach me telepathically. But once he did, we had conversations just like any mother and son, and we talked for at least an hour every day. And he introduced me to many, many other sources, very highly evolved beings, and the representatives of those civilizations also gave me just mind-boggling messages about their civilizations. Really, really fascinating. Some of them are our ancestors, so that makes it particularly interesting, I think.
Indeed, yes. Now, I told our listeners that, which of course I've discussed with you, that we are going to talk about 2012. And the basis for some of my questions or discussion with you is something that arose from the essay on 2012, which came out on the 31st of December in 2007. Because Matthew asked you to issue that one at that time. And I think in view of the period which has elapsed and what we're facing now, it probably is a good idea to review that. But before we do so, obviously the most pertinent point on people's minds is the coming inauguration of Obama. Now, there has been a lot of different opinions around the internet as to what he represents. Now, from your point of view and Matthew's, what would you like to say about Obama?
Matthew first mentioned him in his May message and said that he was a very highly evolved being from another civilization, who is part of the world transformation. He came in, you know, when he agreed to come from that other civilization, he did so on the basis that he would, at this point, he still does not have that kind of memory of that pre-birth agreement. However, he did come in with the wisdom, the leadership experience. He's an extremely spiritual person, completely filled with light. So he does have the inspiration and the aspirations to lead. He also has a great deal of self-confidence, self-assurance, in addition to many, many lifetimes as a great leader. And in time, just like the rest of us, he will have that full memory of who he is, and he is going to, it's not just for the United States. His leadership ability and the light and the changes that he will be initiating will have a domino effect throughout the world.
Yes, I'm sure indeed that is the case, because the world does tend to follow what happens in the U.S. Now, have you heard, or do you know, in fact, talking of him having been a great leader before, that he is connected with the life of George Washington?
I have heard from other sources, not mine.
Yeah.
No. Abraham Lincoln. I hadn't heard George Washington.
And right, okay. Well, perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps it's me, but I did hear him connected with one of the greater presidents. But if that be the case, he would certainly be described as a great leader, wouldn't he?
He would indeed. One thing that, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Mike, because it gives me this opportunity to say that what I have heard from Matthew and some of my other sources is that we speak of reincarnation and
yeah.
What we were just now talking about was Obama also Abraham Lincoln. It is the same energy and oversoul that goes back to antiquity, you know, long, long before there we have any records. By we, I mean we here now on Earth.
Yes.
There certainly are our records, Akashic records, but the energy of those very highest souls, in some cases, back to the archangels, who never did embody, but the energy that is pure love and light, the essence of Creator, that energy it has embodied in a number of the world's finest leaders.
Oh, that's brilliant. I mean, that's very reassuring, and people have often written to me and made comments about Obama because they have doubts, which may be understandable because the guy hasn't even started yet. But this is what I say, give him time. I mean, he can't do much before he actually holds the position of president.
Yes, exactly. He's doing what any president would do, you know, naming the principals who will be in his administration. And I've also received a number of emails, and perhaps you have also, Mike, about people who say, well, you know, where is the change? He has these people from Clinton's administration and even some who were close to Bush, what he is doing is at this point surrounding him with the people who do have power and experience. Matthew has made a couple of comments that I think the listeners may appreciate knowing. He's not going to put them out in messages because he just could be misinterpreted.
Yes.
But in one case, he said, Mother, you have heard, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So it's a matter of Obama's wanting to know what those people are up to, who their contacts are, find out more about them.
Yes.
The other thing that Matthew has said is nothing is set in concrete. It does not mean that everybody he appoints now will be with him throughout the 4 years.
Right.
So, and then, of course, just like you said, give the guy some time.
Yes.
I mean, he is inheriting the worst mess our world has ever been in.
Indeed.
And it's, I am, I'm not qualified. take over anything like that. But I would just find it so overwhelming to know where to begin.
Yes.
And the people that he is choosing right now are going to make the beginning an easier transition than if he started off with everyone knew, everyone he knows and can trust.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
Yes, I think that I think we are all so impatient.
Yes.
We want so much for our world to be peaceful and to have negotiation replace war and constant conflict, but we just do need to be patient a while longer and
Indeed,
things unfold.
And of course, by being patient, we are actually helping him. Right, let's move on now to 2012. It's generally known that the significance of 2012 is that it's the end of the cycle. But some people believe that it's going to be the end of the world. Now, how would you answer that one?
They're wrong. I'm thinking you said that I have a mind of my own, and I
yes,
was just
carry on.
So I was just throwing that in there. I believe that the people who feel that this means the end of the world are thinking very fundamentally in terms of the Bible, Armageddon, the raptures. The book of Revelations was written by very self-serving people. That information did not come by God-inspired people.
No.
In there strategically to create fear, to separate people from God, enough about that. The end is of the dark control of this world. And so in that sense, it is an ending. But it is not what the religiously devout are anticipating. It's going to be far, far better. And all the changes that are taking place now are, even as drastic as they seem, some of the situations, like the Middle East right now, all of these are steps forward toward ridding the world of the dark control, all of the corruption, the deception, the brutality. And we are, this ascension process is Earth leaving deep third density, where darkness thrives, mm-hmm. and going through fourth into fifth, which is her destination. And Earth will reach her destination in the year 212.
Right. Now, can I quote from the essay on 2012, just to get your response here? Matthew said that, just follow me a little bit here, that, yes, the lead up to 2012 is the transformation of the world, the Earth's rejuvenation and return to balance, and it would reach completion in 2012. And then he also said, and he described it as being just a simple statement, that 2012 heralds Earth's entry into the Golden Age. Now, tell us what your view is of the Golden Age. What does it mean to us?
The end of darkness is the simplest way I can say that. I think it was God who mentioned in a message to me that Golden Age is well named because of the light. Mm-hmm. By that time, the darkness in humankind that is causing all the savagery that is still going on now against individuals, against nations, civil wars, all of this is the darkness in humankind. We are not born with it. Every infant comes in with a soul that is the essence of God and Creator, pure love and light. So it is the orientation that comes after that,
right.
that breeds the hatred and the separation. By that time, the people who want to change, who want to absorb the light, will be going right along on this ascension journey with Earth. They will be going along physically. Those who want to hold on to the negativity that is the desire to control others, the greed, corruption, ruthlessness, dishonesty, brutality in any form, those characteristics cannot survive in the Golden Age. And the people who continue to hold on to them will be leaving physically. Their physical bodies will die, and their souls will be drawn to a place that where the energy is in consonance with their lifetime energy. Every single moment of our lives, our thoughts, our feelings, our deeds,
right.
are instantaneously recorded in the Akashic records. And
yes.
so where we go after what we call death, but it's really just a transition from this earth lifetime to the spirit lifetime.
Yes.
The energy is what draws us there. The physical lifetime energy automatically takes us to the well, first of all, we do go to heaven, what we call heaven. but it has many, many layers to it. And it accommodates every person who has lived on Earth. It is the spirit world just for our planet. And so the decision is not an arbitrary one. God does not make that judgment. God does not judge.
Right. Let me ask you a question there then. Are you suggesting that the, what shall we say, the middle layer of people that don't really have a lot of interest in spiritual matters but might believe that there is a God of some kind, that aren't necessarily, shall we say, evil in any way, would go through with ascension? I mean, what is their place? Because they may not, say, be corrupt or in that very lower level of vibration. How would you see that working out?
There are many people on Earth who, of different religions, different ethnicities, cultures, what have you. It depends on how they live. And if they live in what I'm going to call godly ways, goodness, if they are pure of heart, if they share what they can with others, if they are kind and truthful, they're going to go along. It's not a matter of what they know. People do not have to know yet about this world transformation. The information isn't available to anyone. It is the energy of their lives that will determine if they make this full journey with Earth or not.
Right. Now, just looking again at the people at the very lower end of this scale, the corrupt people, etc., who want to stay in that type of energy, would it sound logical to think there would come a point as the vibrations keep rising up when suddenly there would be what one might call a mass exodus of those people? Would they suddenly disappear because they couldn't hold any longer in the higher vibration?
You're absolutely right about the higher vibrations, Mike, according to what my sources tell me. But it would not be a mass exodus. Some of them are disappearing now. We don't hear about them. I mean, it doesn't come out in their obituaries. This man or this woman couldn't exist in physical body any longer because the body doesn't have enough light for these higher vibrations. They will. It is according to the extent of whatever light is there. What is happening is that the light is the people who are absorbing the light, and there's no trick to that. It's just living a good life. That's all. What I was just mentioning. What the light is doing is changing the cellular structure from a carbon-based to a crystalline-based. The carbon-based cannot survive in the higher vibrations. The crystalline base is what can survive in the higher vibrations. So again, this is not arbitrary. It's not judgment. It's people's choices about how to live their lives.
Right, okay. Now, something I did mention to you before the program, or brought to your attention, and it's not a matter of my wanting to, shall we say, pick on anybody else's beliefs, because I strongly believe, and everybody's right to what they take as the truth at the time. But there is one particular belief about the end times that doesn't really find any place in my thinking, although it comes up often, and that is the idea of stasis, which, if I understand it correctly, virtually talks of people being put into a state of limbo while other things happen on the earth. Now, I believe you did say you might be able to get Matthew's comments about that. So would you be prepared to tell us what you know or what your own opinion is?
Well, you know, when you said I have a mind of my own, I do. But, of course, I'm heavily influenced with the information I receive because it does resonate with me. You know, the by definition, stasis cannot happen. Stasis is a stoppage. With a slightly looser definition, it could be a slowing down of something. But for stasis to happen, it would mean that the universe would have to come to a stop. And that cannot happen. The universe is in constant motion. I think it was God who told me, but it may have been Matthew as well. The only static is change. The only unchanging thing is constant change. No matter how stasis is described, like I believe 3 days of darkness and everybody goes to sleep and then wakens, and somebody forwarded something to me that described it as when we wake up, the surface of Earth will be totally and utterly destroyed. We wouldn't even recognize it. Mike, that is 180 degrees from everything I have ever been told. I too respect people's beliefs if they are serving them and not hurting anyone else. But that is so, so false. And the messages that are, the channeled messages that are coming through with that kind of information. And another one is that there will be mass evacuation of Earth. Those are coming through receivers that are unaware that they are reaching very, very dark sources who claim to be very highly evolved beings. Names like Saint Germain and Sananda and Ashtar, names we are familiar with. Those dark sources are falsely claiming to be those very highly evolved souls. The receivers are not aware that they are receiving false information and distributing it.
Now, another big event during the course of these last few years should be anything that's connected, I guess, with what we might call the Abundance Program, or what was previously known as NASARA, which I think some people now call the Refunding Program. How do you view what might happen in connection with what we were told years ago about the benefits of NASARA?
I think that NASARA is well, perhaps not the most widely misunderstood, because the end times also are, but Nisara is a process that is world transformation and spiritual renewal. It is a joint effort between, excuse me, please, members of the spiritual hierarchy. And I'm not talking about a few. I'm talking about millions.
Yes.
And leaders on Earth. It was between 60 and 70 years ago that Earth was in death throes. She called out for help. Because she did, God honored her free will and authorized all those other civilizations to step in and help. Now, in the continuum of where there is no linear time, the plans for Nisara may have been made hundreds or even thousands of years ago. There have to be certain windows of opportunity on a universal scale I'm speaking about now.
Yeah.
But it had to be introduced to the consciousness of Earth. And because the United States is considered the most powerful nation on Earth, it started here. And because we are a nation of laws, it had to start with legislation.
Yes.
And Nisara is an acronym for that. But about 4 or 5 years ago, the window of opportunity for Nisara in the legislative sense that it is, closed. That does not mean that this whole process of world transformation was set back at all. It simply took another direction. People who are still expecting a TV announcement of Nisara being enacted will be disappointed in that sense.
Yeah.
Because that is not going to happen. But the process, all of the changes that Nisara embodied, and it's greatly, greatly more that could be put into a law. I mean, for instance, how can you put into a law that the help is coming from other civilizations our government doesn't even acknowledge their existence.
Right, yes.
So it had to start there just to bring it into consciousness.
Yes.
Because this is our world. It's up to us to participate in the changes. It has to be the kind of world that we want, that we envision. And the assistance, though, that Earth needs, that we need to get out of everything that has been so damaging to Earth's body and to our psyches because of it, required the infusion of light from off planet. And so that has been going on all these years. Now, as far as I know too about the gifting programs, the abundance programs, deliveries were supposed to be made on specific dates.
Yeah.
that's not going to happen. Sorry. I guess you hear our dogs barking?
Somebody disagrees with you, obviously.
No. I think that they are barking at the trash pickup. You know, they have to go out and protect us.
Right, yeah. Oh, well, it proves this is a live program.
Yes. It does indeed. All right, what is happening right now that we are seeing as the global economic system collapsing? This has to happen. It's rooted in darkness and corruption. And when we say the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, that has been going on for a long time. I don't think that any of us can even conceive of the extent of greed and corruption that has gone on, that has created this tremendous inequality here. But really, what Nassar will be doing, what will come out of the changes, the old system had to break down to make way for the new. The new system is going to be a fair reallocation. Well, okay, reallocation of all the world's resources so that it is fair.
Yeah.
But for the people who have run up credit cards by buying expensive cars, you know, taking cruises and things like that, those things were their choices. They're going to be responsible for handling their choices, but there certainly will be tremendous changes.
Let me ask you something, Susie, here.
Mm-hmm.
I believe from your comments that you are probably saying that Nassara, or the benefits of it, are actually incorporated in different ways in the period to come, and it's not a separate issue anymore. It sort of found its way into many other facets. Now, the poverty in different countries and in the States, of course, is getting worse with the economic crisis. So the part of Nassara that obviously interests most people, I guess, is the one of debt forgiveness. Now, do you believe that will take place?
No. It's that was a qualified no, Mike.
Right,
because people's debts have been incurred in so many different ways.
Yeah.
To say that Nassara is going to mean that mortgages will be wiped out, everybody will own homes free and clear, that their credit cards will be nullified, they can start over with zero balances. That is not fair. That is, there are people who have mortgages on $100,000 homes. There are those who have mortgages on $10 million homes, or on yachts, or maybe those are loans and not mortgages on yachts.
Right, yeah.
It would not be fair to...
Well, let me come in there then, Susie.
Sure.
Would it mean that when the wealth of the world, and that would include presumably money, is then fairly distributed, would that have the same effect as taking them out of debt?
It just as we are individuals and make individual choices and have individual resources, Nassara eventually this aspect of it will be fair.
Yes.
But it is going to be on an individual basis. It cannot be just a sweeping situation, because in some cases, the money that has paid for our possessions, whatever they are, has been illegally made. If I may say this, because Nisara is so misunderstood, may I mention my website?
Yes, of course, by all means. I'd like you to, yes.
Okay. It's MatthewBooks.com. Two T's in Matthew, plural books. There is, please go to Matthew's Messages. There is one called Special Nisara Edition. And it is, all right, you'll have to scroll quite a ways down. I believe that it is below the September 11th, 2006 message.
Yes.
So please scroll all the way down on that page, and you can read about Nisara. It explains the breadth and depth of this program. Program is really too diminutive a word. It is the world transformation, and to transform our world requires transforming governments and the economy, because it has been politics, political decisions, and the corruption within that has caused the economy to be what it is today. And there has been such massive deception and corruption.
Right. There is a line of thought that believes the Illuminati have deliberately set all this into motion, because obviously they benefit from chaos, etc. But their ultimate aim is to cause the dollar to collapse, and people refer to this new currency that's been spoken about for a while called the Amaro. You've no doubt heard about that. Do you feel that will come to be?
The Amaro currency may well be minted. I understand it's a coin as opposed to a bill. Anything that is being done now by the Illuminati, anything that is based in their plans, will not come to pass.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. I mean, the dollar has already lost most of its value anyway. And I can understand that this is a very worrisome situation, because it's bad enough that the devaluation of the dollar affects the world, but their own currencies are being severely affected as well.
Yes.
But, Mike, it has to happen. The Illuminati, they own the Federal Reserve and its IRS, which is the collection arm. So right away, there is the total deception. It's just a little really privately held banking consortium. But it's backfiring on them. Everything that they have planned is backfiring on them. Because the more light that comes in that exposes what they are doing. The more light that is illuminating people's minds and hearts, it's all part of Nisara. The Illuminati is crumbling. And so, yes, they planned the financial collapse to benefit them. It's doing exactly the reverse. The you've heard about the Madoff situation, the $50 billion.
Yes.
Okay, that's all part of it. The exposure of that. I mean, I think that just common sense would say that we know that more than one person was operating that Ponzi scheme, you know, for all those years. And that was all part of the Illuminati situation. Actually, even some of their members have been tremendously adversely affected by it. That was certainly not the intention. It's all part of more light coming in and sweeping out the darkness.
And right, now, let me quote from the essay for 2012, which is relevant to what you have just spoken. And it's nice, I think, to remind ourselves of what Matthew said. He said, the new foundation for currencies will be a return to an old one, where precious metals was a set standard for exchange, and old-fashioned bartering, once again, will be an excellent way for nations and communities to conduct some business. And I think maybe that is the bottom line, isn't it? It's going back to something that is strengthened and relies on precious metals.
Yes. There has to be some solid basis for currency systems. And right now there is not. I don't know the percentages, but banks can lend, and other lending institutions can lend vastly more. It may be 80% more than they have funds to back up.
Yes.
So what has been going on is really nothing more than computerized exchange.
Yes, yes.
And all of those are making the wealthy still wealthier.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So there will be a sound basis for money. And as far as bartering, that very likely will prove to be so successful, starting in communities. I mean, we live on the outskirts of two tiny towns, and
yes.
I'm already seeing things going on there. Produce cooperatives and other people exchanging goods and services. This can be done on an international basis just as well as right in tiny communities.
Yes, indeed. I read that Matthew did in fact say that the allocation of food and other basic life essentials available in the richer countries will be shared on an equitable basis with the poorer countries. So he indeed is making that very point.
Yes. The countries where the people are living in desperate straits, they're impoverished to rock bottom. But there may be very rich natural resources in those countries. And they're being exploited by the multinational corporations, which of course are owned by the Illuminati.
Right.
Something else that is being changed. I know you didn't ask about this, but the changes that we see, not just in weather, but in climates. What is going on there is that Earth is getting back to her original state where it was a moderate climate everywhere. So lands that are now just deserts or they're ice-capped, all that will change. Lands will become arable again. So there can be farming in the places where they're now, of course, it's impossible.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There will be enough food. It won't have to be shipped halfway around the world. There may still be that because there may be specialties. We don't know everything that will be changed. We know the big picture, but always free will, as long as it is not going to hurt someone else, God wants Earth to be beautiful again, just as Earth wants herself to be. And it's not just natural beauty. It's the beauty of the people living here and the harmony and the health. So all of the things that could be considered worrisome situations now are steps forward to the golden age. And once we get there, we're not going to be static there either. Wonderful changes will continue to happen.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I agree. Now, Susie, it's been so interesting as usual when you're on the program. Time flies by, and I've literally got a few minutes left for you to perhaps give a final message, mention if you're doing any new books, before I have to tell our listeners who I've got on next week. So I'll give you a couple of minutes. Would you like to say something?
Well, first, I want to say something to you, Mike. I'm so delighted. I read that you either have been or will be on Roger Frampton's 2012 Chronicles today. Right?
That was intended, but something went wrong somewhere, and I don't actually know what happened. But I was not on it in the end, but I guess it will come up again, yes.
Okay.
And I am aware that you appeared on his program sometime earlier, so that was a bit unfortunate. I don't know what went wrong.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry about that. But it will happen.
Yes, I think so.
I would also like to mention for that this message, the essay on 212, is also on my site at the Matthew Messages section. Just please scroll down. My recollection is that it was December 2007.
It was, yes.
Ah, thank you. You know that.
31st of December, yes.
Yes. Oh, okay. Because there is so much interesting information about that.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, just as Salusa, is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes, yes, how I do it, Salusa, yes.
Yes. Well, I loved his message today.
Great.
Everything about it, I just flowed with the total thing. But what I want to mention is he said, we should be looking forward and preparing for, I know you did say end times there, but you gave it its correct connotation, of course. I mean, Salusa did. And that is what is so important for us to be focusing on. Because every moment of our lives, every thought, every feeling, every vision we have, everything we do, is moving us forward toward that time. And something that I would like to mention about the year 2012, it goes back to linear time. Matthew has said, please don't think of it as, in this moment now, since we're in 209, as the whole process of change will take four more years, calendar years, that we're expecting. What we call time is actually energy. And the energy flow, the frequencies in which Earth is now are higher and faster. I know fast is not quite the right word there, but I think it makes it a little clearer. Time, as we know it, is passing faster and faster, and that is going to be continuing. So it's not as if it's going to be four more calendar years.
Right, I'll have to stop you there, Susie. I don't want to, but I've got to, because I officially I'm overrunning very slightly.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. The time goes so quickly when we're together.
It does, yes. And thank you so much for coming on to the program. I hardly touched the list of things I wanted to, but there you are. That's how it is. It's been terrifically interesting, as usual. Thank you very, very much for coming on to the program. And I must now quickly tell our listeners that next Friday I have Yvonne Smith, who's known as one of the top hypnotherapists in connection with alleged UFO abductions. She does lectures. She's been on many, many radio programs, TV. She's written books. So I think that will be a very interesting interview. So thank you for being with me today. Hope you'll be with me next week. God bless you all.